Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Lucy Gavin is with me on the line today. Lucy, you might tell us about your little, about little Toby.
Hi, how are you? So yeah, Toby is our little boy. He was born there 8 weeks ago. And quite quickly we knew there was something not quite right with Toby. Just wasn't kind of doing the usual baby things, even just at a few days old, wasn't really waking, wasn't feeding right, just in general, wasn't just right. We couldn't put our fingers on it. And then we had quite a scary episode at home, myself and my husband, Niall, where Toby had a kind of a bit of a jerk in movements in the bath, which we thought was a seizure. So sure enough, we brought ourselves up here to Temple Street Children's Hospital in Dublin. And within about 6 hours of getting to A&E, we ended up in intensive care with Toby. He was hooked up to a ventilator. He had tubes coming out of every part of his body you could imagine. They didn't initially know what was wrong, but they knew there was something seriously wrong based on his bloods and how unresponsive he was. They had said to us, you know, we think it's a metabolic condition, but these conditions are so rare and, you know, it could take us a day or two to get results for you. So we were kind of left in limbo, not really knowing what was going on. Within about a day and a half, the fantastic metabolic team had come up with the diagnosis of propionic acidemia, it's called. And it affects approximately 1 in 150,000. So it's, when they talk about rare, it is very
rare.
We do have a little girl who will be 2 in September at home, and she's perfect. You know, we had never thought anything would be wrong with our baby. Everything throughout the scans and throughout my pregnancy was, you know, fairly perfect. With propionic acidemia, basically, the body can't break down 4 amino acids that are in protein. So these amino acids then build up in the body and become toxic to the body. So that's where we kind of had presented with Toby initially.
Okay.
The toxin level had reached a really, really high level, and he had kind of gone into like a semi-comatose state. The toxin is called ammonia, and that can cause brain damage, seizures. So it's really, you know, it's a severe side effect.
And it's frightening. Yeah. I've no doubt, Lucy, for yourself and I listening to this. And over the past couple of weeks since Toby's been born, when you went back, you went back to Temple Street, is that right, with Toby?
Yeah, so we initially, our first admission, we arrived when he was 5 days old, and we were in for just over 4 weeks. Between intensive care, then we kind of went down to more like a HDU ward, and then once he was a bit more stable, we went down to the metabolic ward. So that admission was about 4 weeks in total. Then we got home for about 4 or 5 days, and his ammonia then rose again, so we ended up back in for another week. And then we went home again, and home for maybe 5 or 6 days, and back again.
Then
on the third admission in 7 weeks, the consultant had said, look, every time Toby presents unwell, we treat him with this medication called Carbaglu. So it's carglumic acid. And, you know, he's really, really responsive to this treatment, and it works so well for him.
Yeah.
She was like, we have decided we're going to send you home with 10 days supply, and that she was going to send an application to the PCRS and the HSE to try and get this drug reimbursed for us at home, because it's quite an expensive drug.
And when Toby gets the medication, the carbagula that you mentioned, and so that he's responsive to that, and things are as normal
as they can
be, are they, Lucy? Yeah. So Hugh, this is great.
For example, the last time we presented with his ammonia going high, like, so signs of high ammonia can be like vomiting, kind of not waking up. Toby seems to always develop a rash, which the consultant isn't really sure is that a sign of it, but that's a sign for him. With this disease being so rare, you know, signs can come up and they've never seen them before. So with him, he always gets this kind of rash. And the last time we had him at home, like, in himself, he was quite well. And, you know, he was, you know, gooing and gaing and everything was fine. But my sister actually had noticed he had this little rash in his back. And I said, oh, no, I said, we better go and get his blood checked. And sure enough, his ammonia had risen up to 127, which is very, very high. So within one dose of Carbaglu here in the hospital, it was back down to 30. So when I say effective, really effective.
Really effective. And I mean, none of us can imagine your child's been diagnosed with an extremely rare condition. And then the hope, I suppose, when you find out and the comfort from the consultant that actually, you know, yeah, it's a rare condition, but there's medication out there and Toby's responsive to it. And this is great news. Yeah. And then you get sent home with a 10-day supply of this stuff.
Yeah. And like, I suppose the worry for me is that, like, ammonia being high, you know, how many times can the ammonia go high and we catch it? Great, we caught it, we got him the drug, it came back down, it didn't cause any damage. It's the time that it does cause the damage. Like, that damage is irreversible. Like, you can't change brain damage, you can't change deficits, you know. So you're constantly on guard. And, like, I suppose there is that anxiety when you bring him home. God, am I missing something? Like, is he still well? Is he not well? I suppose we, myself and my husband and our, you know, our family and our friends, we're still learning Toby and we're still learning his signs and his symptoms. And, you know, eventually everyone says, oh, you'll be a pro. The minute he's sick, you'll know about it. But we don't really know yet. And that drug at home is that sense of security for us.
So you got the drug and I'm sure people are thinking, well, this is great. Why can't you give him this drug, I suppose, every single day? What's preventing that from happening?
So basically, it is a bit of a complex situation, but in Ireland, in order for drugs to be reimbursed, they go through rigorous testing in terms of, like, the economic aspect, you know, the effectiveness aspect, you know, basically, is this drug worth approving? Is it doing what it says on the tin? And in 2022, a company called Eurocept International, they had marketed this drug to the PCRS. They would be a generic brand of this drug and they were refused reimbursement based on cost. The PCRS had said that it was due to budgetary impact and economic impact. So Toby's consultant had sent a big long medical letter of support. She had also sent, you know, clinical trials that had been done recently in the small population with propionic acidemia and it's shown how effective this drug was on stability. And basically they had said that, you know, it's not been approved, it's not on the approved list, so therefore they will not reimburse it. But I suppose the company that is currently supplying the drug, it's Recordi Rare Medicine, they're called, you know, from, well, my take on the situation is, well, why would they go through the rigorous testing if the generic brand has already done that and has been declined?
But the HSE's primary care reimbursement service is saying you have to go through the process, I suppose, the application process. Yeah. And how many days into the 10 days are you now, Lucy?
So we are actually back in hospital. The 10-day supply is finished. Toby did become unwell near the end of the 10 days and we're back in hospital. But I suppose the sense of security for me is that I know that while we're here, he's getting the drug 3 times a day and it's not an issue, you know. Like, you know, just because a drug is expensive and rare, like, my argument is, why was it declined initially? I know it's expensive, but I imagine the cost of us being here, like, say, maybe 6 out of 7 weeks is a lot more expensive than the drug.
While you and Toby are in hospital, Toby can be prescribed this particular drug and medication, and obviously you're getting that via the hospital. But when you leave after the 10 days, how much would it cost you to buy this for Toby?
4,000 euro approximately per month.
Oh, right. 4 grand a month.
So, you know, 4 grand a month. Yeah, and like, initially, during the consultant's application, like, she had only applied to the PCRS for an interim period of 1 year because Toby will eventually need liver transplantation, which is not done in Ireland. So that will be done in King's College in London. So, I mean, the application that she applied for wasn't indefinite use. It was, you know, until we could receive more kind of stable treatment and long-term options. There is clinical trial currently undergoing in Manchester, which today we kind of received some fairly good news that, you know, the clinical trial is interested in Toby and there has been massive benefits for children with propionic acidemia in maintaining stability from this clinical trial. But another kind of battle that we have at the moment is that the government doesn't provide any assistance to clinical trials because it's seen as experimental. So we have been kind of told this morning it's going to be a minimum of 6 months to a maximum of a year relocation in Manchester, at our own expense. Yeah.
Big money, Lucy.
Yeah, and I suppose like we were kind of, myself and my husband had a brief discussion this morning about it. Like, although you have a very rare child and a child that requires a lot of care, we also have a lovely little 2-year-old at home that requires care and love and attention. And how do you pull her from her family and her routine? And, you know, she's to start play school in September. You know, there's a complex situation. But the Carbaglue in the interim would provide us with that sense of security that Toby is going to stay well at home.
So really you just need continued monthly access to the Carbaglue drug that you've talked about, but that's going to set you and the family back $4,000 a month.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, we do have a GoFundMe that my mum set up, and I mean, we had basically said, you know, if we have to, we could use some of this money to buy some Carbaglue, but ultimately our GoFundMe is to try and fund the liver transplant and to try and fund the clinical trial
in Manchester.
Well, you know, like, I'm hoping, like, Toby's consultant did say that the pharmacy team here in Temple Street are working really, really hard, that if we do go home in the next week or two, that we will be supplied for at least a month or two until hopefully that somebody in the HSC sees the urgency of this situation. And I mean, I know they're saying procedures and protocols have to be followed out, but these procedures underwent in 2022 and they still refused it. And now my child urgently needs the drug.
And have you had any response? I mean, have you been in contact, Lucy, with the HSE yourselves?
So we had an article there that was published yesterday in the Irish Examiner, and we had a few online media articles that were published, and the HSE came back to the online media article with a very generic response, just that, you know, drugs have to be, you know, they have to follow these procedures, and basically that the cost of these drugs, if you hold on one second, I would just like to read a line from their response, which I just thought was quite interesting. Just to me, they're saying that basically drugs need to be examined based on costs, that all children and all citizens of Ireland have fair access to drugs. But, you know, where's the fair access for my rare child?
Where do you go from here, Lucy? And I should say, look, I you mentioned the GoFundMe campaign, and I'm happy to share that, the details of that, if you want to pass them on to us on, you know, just even through my own Instagram account. Or if anyone's listening and they want to read more about it, where can they access that?
So I have my Facebook profile, which I'm kind of giving updates about Toby. My name is Lucy Gavin on Facebook. And then our GoFundMe is Help Toby's Battle with Propionic Acidemia. And I suppose, you know, we just, like, somebody had asked me, you know, what would you wish? And I just say, I wish I'm not in this situation, but I wish that people see we're good. Myself and my husband, we're good, hardworking people. And if we were in the position to help somebody else, we absolutely would. You know, I hope there does come a time that we are able to help someone else in the position. But at the moment, we're the ones here asking for the help and hoping that people will see that, you know, the government might not see the urgency, but we certainly do. It's not a family unit that we're living in at the moment. We're just surviving, and like it's extremely, extremely confusing for our little girl at home.
It's very, very challenging for all of you, Lucy.
Yeah, the end goal ultimately is to have him well enough to be at home with his big sister, who so desperately is asking for him every morning, and he's not there.
And this was the alternative. I mean, in order to try and to get the drug until you're at the phase of Toby maybe being able to travel for the liver surgery that you're talking about. I mean, is the only alternative that you stay as an inpatient? I mean, that's not ideal either at Temple Street.
Well, it's not ideal, no. Like, and that's what the consultant said to me this morning. The pharmacy team is working so hard. They have secured an extra supply there this morning. And, you know, they're willing to give us some going home. But how long will that last? She's not sure. And that's not an answer that she can make. She said, you know, that will have to go to different committees within the hospital. And you know, ideally, like, I'm not a pharmacist, but I don't know the laws around prescribing. I don't think that them supplying us from the hospital is the right way about it.
Well,
that's where we're at. Like,
yeah, that's,
you know,
the situation.
It's not a long-term situation. And you know, at any point, if Temple Street can't supply it, we're left without, until we could financially pay for it ourselves. Like,
four
but you know,
a month, is it?
How long does that last? It doesn't.
Huge expense. We got in touch with the HSE, with the HSE's the PCRS system that you've been talking about, Lucy, the primary care reimbursement service, and they've sent me back a really, really long page and a half statement. But I suppose to give you the main points out of it, while the HSE cannot comment on individual cases, we can advise that the pharmacist team within the HSE's primary care reimbursement service are engaging with the prescribing consultant on this matter. We're committed to providing access to as many medicines as possible in as timely a fashion as possible from the resources provided to it. The HSE robustly assesses applications for pricing and reimbursement to make sure that it can stretch available resources as far as possible and to deliver the best value in relation to each medicine and ultimately more medicines to Irish citizens and patients. HSE decisions on which medicines are reimbursed by the taxpayer are made on objective, scientific and economic grounds. There's formal processes which govern the applications for the pricing and reimbursement and new uses of existing medicines to be funded, and there's a whole long list of about 9 or 10 different reasons for that, and I'm sure that statement...
Yeah, that's the exact statement that I had received.
That's what you had too. Okay.
It's the same. It seems to be a generic response that they're publishing.
What is your message to, on the off chance, the health minister is listening today? I mean, is there any way they can get involved? Is the health minister even aware of the situation?
Well, we have reached out to every local TD in our area, and I must say we have had a good response, and they have all written to the health minister. But as of yet, we've received no update or correspondence. And I mean, if she by any chance was listening, I would just say please have some compassion and some empathy for our situation. We're a young, hardworking Irish family and we just want to be able to bring our little boy home. Like, we've never had the opportunity to have a family unit for longer than 5 days. And like, when you're pregnant with your second baby, you just think to yourself, oh, I can't wait to see what his sister will do when he does this. Or like, we're completely missing out on all the her milestones and Toby's milestones. In regards to my own relationship with my husband, like, thank God we're in such a strong place, but it's so hard passing by like ships in the night. He comes up to the door of the hospital, I go out the door of the hospital, we give a quick handover about what happened the last few days, and then the other person is back in the car down to Ivy.
It's just passing ships.
How sustainable is that? You know, it's not living, you're just surviving.
Well, Lucy, look, I really appreciate your time here in the programme today, and you know, if circumstances change, if there's any update to the situation, please do keep in touch with us and keep us posted on what's happening.
Thanks so much for having us.
Not
on.
At
we
all.
Really do appreciate
Not at
the,
all.
The call.
Lucy Gavin there talking about her little boy Toby, and as I mentioned, that's the response. Well, it was a long and lengthy response from the HSE in relation to the situation, but the GoFundMe page that's been set up, or the GoFundMe campaign, we'd be happy to share that too here at News Talk and on my own Instagram account as well at Andrea Gilligan 1 if you want to support them in any way possible. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.